Hallelujah. I want you to turn over in your Bibles right now to 3 John 2. There's 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. 3 John 2 is only one chapter. Many have said that this particular passage of Scripture was a salutation, a greeting to the church. And it is, however, it's far more than that. I mean, it's one letter written, it's one chapter to us. But it was written as a letter to the church and to the people of that time and to us, obviously. And so everything in it has significance. And the way it's written, I'm going to go through a few things with you today just to help you to see how important this is. Now, how many of you, I'd just like a showing of hands if you would, how many of you would like to go to your job tomorrow and your boss say, well, you know, how do you want to get paid? And how many of you would go and tell your boss, I'd like to make less? No one? You mean you don't love your job so much? Really? How many of you believe God wants to prosper you? Amen. I want to see a showing of hands. God wants to prosper you. Amen. You know, when I was growing up, you talk about prosperity, they'd stone you. You know, you weren't allowed to have anything. But I have come to realize in my life, and I hope you agree with me here, there have been ups and downs in my life, financial times of great prosperity, financial times of tightness, and certainly being married, you know, it comes and goes, and with kids, it comes and goes. But as I think forward, I'd like to know, just from you in this room, how many of you think God wants you to have more? Amen. I'll put it this way. How many of you have ever been there on a Friday night, you paid all your bills, the next Monday is coming, and when you looked at it, you knew the paycheck was coming in, and there wasn't going to be enough for the bills on Monday. Has anybody ever been there but me? Yeah. And you thought, how are we going to make it? How are we going to make it the next day? How are we going to make it the next week? I mean, you see the projected future. Looking forward into that projected future, you know there's not enough. Now, you do in the Spirit. You know in God, because we know my God shall supply all of our needs according to His riches and glory. And God will provide miracles for us. But wouldn't it be better, I just want to know, I hope you agree with me, I think it would be better to have plenty. I think it would just be better to have enough in the bank. Let's just talk about the church. I'd like to have enough in the bank. I mean, how far could I extend payroll? I mean, I'd like to have enough in the bank that there was enough to cover payroll for months. So if the tithes and offerings went down a little bit, there was plenty of money left over, and these payroll would always be met, all the bills would be met. You had a backup plan. How many know what I'm talking about? How many of you like that? Because if you think about it, just in the natural, I'm not talking about the spirit, I'm just talking about the natural now. Many of us are one illness away from bankruptcy. You may not want to admit that today, but it's the truth. We're living hand to mouth. We're living with barely enough. On Wednesday night, I you know what, one of the things that would have blessed my soul. I'm just thinking about me now. I'm not thinking about you. And I'm doing well, don't get me wrong. But I went to get this bus over in Hartsville. $5,500. Now, to some, that may be a whole lot of money. To us, you know, I don't know. I think it's a lot of money. It's not exorbitant amount of money. It's not $40,000, $50,000, $60,000, $80,000. It's just $5,500. I would have liked to have been able personally to go over there with $1,500, walk to the man, hand him $1,500, knowing my vacation was taken care of, knowing, and just say, I don't need to ask the church for any money. Nobody needs to hand anything to us. Here's $5,500. I'm going to buy the church a bus. How many in this room think that'd be a great thing to do? I think we ought to all want that. I honestly believe the Bible says that we would have enough that we could sow into every good work. Abounding such that we could sow into every good work. Now, that's not going broke. God doesn't want all our money. But if you had it, I mean, if you really had it and it wasn't giving out of need. Now, there are times we give and sow out of need. But how would you like to live that there's not a need crisis in your life? And I believe that's where God wants us to live. I believe that God wants us to live above where many of us are living. And even today, if you're sitting in this room and you're a multimillionaire, I tell you now, God wants you to have more, and He wants to bless you with more so that the kingdom of God can be blessed with more. Amen. I want to come to the point, you see, if everybody in this church was a tither, if just everybody tithed and everybody was blessed. Let's just say everybody was completely blessed on their jobs, in their business activities, out in the marketplace, and you're completely blessed, and you were tithers. If everybody tithed on that blessing God gave you, the jobs He provided for you, there would never be a need to take up an offering. We would never have to ask for money for a bus or for the camp that we're about to do or television programs or any of those things. And see, I truly believe in my heart that it has come to the point that I am willing to decide. I personally have made up my mind that I'm going to figure out God's system of wealth for me personally, because I'm tired of living on just enough. I don't know if anybody else feels what I'm feeling. And it doesn't matter whether you're a senior citizen on a fixed income or a child with nothing. He wants you to prosper. And 3 John 2 is our text for today. And it says, beloved, just point to yourself, say, that's me. He said, I wish above all things, the highest prayer. This is the highest prayer that they were praying. At the highest levels of prayer, he said, I wish above all things. Say all things.
All.
That means ain't nothing below it. All is above. I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Say, God wants me to prosper. He does. He wants you to prosper fully. God does not just want you to prosper mentally. God does not just want you to prosper spiritually. God wants you to prosper also financially. In every area of your life. It's a complete and total package. God has provided a complete package of prosperity. Aren't you glad to know that?
Amen.
Amen. I want to share with you on Wednesday night, I started a teaching, and I'm just going to review a little of that, and we're going to move forward from this scripture. And it's the first thing that I said is that for us to be blessed and prosper, for us to have everything God wants us to have, number one, we have to begin with the fear of the Lord. To qualify for prosperity, it begins with the fear of the Lord. I use Psalm 112, 1 through 3. 112, 1 through 3. Psalms 112, 1 through 3. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that fears the Lord, that delights greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generations of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in that man's house, and his righteousness endures forever. So if we'll fear the Lord, we see that prosperity comes from fearing the Lord.
Amen.
Many people don't understand this. They try to get it on their own. They try to go out on their own and do it. Why not allow God to bless you with prosperity and bless your life to overflowing and to the filling of your life? Secondly, I said we have to seek the Lord.
Amen.
And I used Psalm 34:10 for this. We must seek the Lord. Psalm 34:10. The young lions do suffer lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want for any good thing. Say, any good thing.
Any good thing.
You won't want for any good thing. Anybody who seeks the Lord won't want for any good thing. So first, we fear the Lord. Second, we seek the Lord. And then I said thirdly, and we'll get into this Wednesday, we need to acquaint ourselves with God, with the Lord. He doesn't just need to be someone that we know about. We need to be acquainted with Him. And here's the scripture I'd like to give you. Job 22:21-25. Acquaint thyself now with Him and be at peace. This is Job 22:21-25. Acquaint thyself now with Him and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. Receive, I pray thee, the law from His mouth. Lay up His words in thine heart. If thou return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up. Thou shalt put away iniquity far from the tabernacles. Then shalt thou lay up gold as dust, the gold of Ophir as the stones of the brooks. So if we acquaint ourselves with God, a relationship, not just a knowledge of Him as God, but a knowledge of Him as my friend God, that He's my Lord God, and I acquaint myself with Him, God guarantees us that there'll be riches and wealth in our house. Now, how many believe that it'd be a good idea to just have riches and wealth? I got 10 hands out of the whole place. I think everybody in this place ought to raise their hand. You know, the Bible says that we're to store up treasures for our children's children. Amen. That there's to be an inheritance that perpetuates beyond us. That there should be something left to the children beyond us. If you don't have that, then you have not fulfilled the plan of God for your life. And it does not matter how old you are. It does not matter how young you are. It does not matter your background, your history, where you've come from. It does not matter the hurts you've gone through in your life, whether you've been fired, whether you've been raised up and let down. All that matters is that God said that He will prosper you, and you can trust in that because God said He'll bring this to you if you'll seek Him, if you'll fear Him, and if you'll make yourself acquainted to Him. God wants you to have blessing. And one of the things I see in people when I preach a message like this is I don't know that they really understand what I'm talking about. I don't know that they really come to the point where they're disgusted with not enough. I came to realize that the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, but it is the violent that take it by force. You see, I don't know about you, and I can't talk about you. I don't live where you live. I'm not you, and you're not me. But I can tell you this, as good as life is for me right now, as well as I'm doing, I'm disgusted with not having the plan of God fully fulfilled in my life right now. Now, all I can tell you is how blessed I am. And yet I believe God has more that He wants to do with Stephen T. McCart. Amen. See, without a vision, people perish. There are people sitting in this room. You have no vision for your life. You have no vision connected to a church. You don't see the ramifications of connection and relationship and what you could do to help promote the gospel of God. And so you don't see why the value. All you want is another ninja. Or you want another Sea-Doo or Starbucks coffee. But that's not really living life, is it? It's not just that I have new shoes or I wear nice clothes. If I wear new shoes, have a nice car, but I live in a rat trap, that's not really what God wants for me, is it? I don't believe it is. I can put on the dog and walk out of the house and look real professional, look all good, and then deep down, everybody, there's a secret. I'm in debt up to my eyeballs. I got credit cards beyond where I can pay them. I don't have... Come on. And I don't believe that's where God wants us to live. I wish somebody shout out amen. Amen. Business is prospering. Successfully journeying through life. Look at this scripture that we're looking at, 3 John 2. It was the intent of this scripture to reflect on and refer to three distinct areas of life. Material things. God has a plan for material success. And if I had a title for my message today, I would call it Wealth God's Way. Yes. Wealth God's Way. See, there's world way and there's God's way. We're talking about wealth God's way. And in 3 John 2, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers, is a foundational scripture of our life. It tells us something. It is the bedrock of belief systems for me. When I don't see myself fulfilling this, then I'm not fulfilling the plan of God. When my health is not where I want it to be. But it says here that we're to have material and physical. That's our health and our body. My grandmother went to be with the Lord at about 86 years old. She was a godly woman, and she helped to raise up churches all over the world. My grandfather and her started the first Pentecostal missions throughout the Asian Pacific Rim. They started in Fiji, Samoa, Tonga, the Rarotonga Islands. They went on down into New Zealand, and most of the Australian New Zealand Assemblies of God churches all came out of my grandfather and my grandmother. And she just loved the Lord with all of her heart, just loved God. And when she was about 86 years old, I remember that she came out one day and said, I want to go home. Well, you know, thinking she's old, everybody really wasn't sure because she was in the house. What did she mean by that? What does she mean, go home? She said, I'm going to go in the bathroom and I am going to wash. Then I'm going to come out, I want to talk to everybody, then I'm going to go home. Well, people thought maybe she might have been a little, you know, her mind was sharp. I don't know why she would have been saying that. She never had a sickness. She was never diseased. She never had any kind of ailments, high blood pressure, any of those kinds of things. 86 years old, totally healthy. Nothing wrong with her. No cancer, no brain tumors, no nothing. Just healthy, lungs working great, heart working great. And she walks out at 86 and says, I want to go home. You see, the Bible says, with long life, I'll satisfy you. She obviously had reached a point of satisfaction. She had achieved what she wanted to achieve. Vision was gone for her. Amen. And so, because I've heard when I was growing up, they'd say you had 70 years, and then any beyond that was a plus. You know, God was blessing you, and you know, but the Bible doesn't say that. It doesn't say you can only live 70 years. It says, with long life, I will satisfy you. How many know you can live as long as you want to be satisfied? Now, I know this gravity's going to work. As I've gotten older, gravity's working. I'm 48 yesterday, the ninth. And I noticed things aren't quite as tight as they used to be. I lost my razor along with the broken phone. And I was out on the beach with this, you know, and it had been about a week and a half. Now, for me, I'm Samoan. And islanders can't really grow facial hair and that kind of stuff. And so I'm islander. I can't really grow facial hair. And when I do grow it, weeks can go by and it just be fuzz, you know, just look terrible. And I used to do that, you know, and then shave when I came back from vacation. So I let it go for about a week and a half and looked in the mirror. And you know, to my surprise, it was all gray. I couldn't believe it. I mean, I realized that, you know, time is going, age is coming, and you're not going to surpass the fact. Every man, the Bible says, is counted a man once to die, and then the judgment. You're not going to escape that. You're not going to escape the laws of gravity and all those things. But we don't have to be sick and diseased and mentally challenged and out of our mind and cuss words instead of Christian words. You know what I'm talking about. We don't have to do that. My grandmother didn't do that. So she walked out of the bathroom after washing herself up. Now we realize that she was cleaning herself up as she was going to meet the Lord. She said she met with the family, told us all that she loved us, told everybody how great it was, blah, blah, blah. Then she went in her bedroom and went to be with the Lord. Now, I don't know about anybody else, but that's the way I want to go. Now, I don't want to go like that today, but I want to go. I do. I really want to go, and I want to lay down in my bed, and I want to go. I don't want to go from cancer. I don't want to go from disease. I don't want to go blind, deaf, dumb. I don't want to go without my right mind. Come on. And God guarantees me. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. God wants us in health. He provided his son Jesus for my health. By Jesus' stripes, you are healed. Somebody ought to say amen.
Amen.
And so this entails that. So physical prosperity is God's charge to us. It is a demand we need to make on life, that God wants us to be physically prosperous, and we need to demand that. We need to command that in our life. I refuse to be sick. I refuse to have heart attacks. I refuse to have lung conditions. I refuse to have blood issues. I refuse it in Jesus' name. I mean, no, we can enforce our redemption. You need to enforce it in Jesus' name. We've been redeemed. But it all is based on something very important, because he says, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. I think sometimes people discount the value of a church. They discount the value of a pastor. They discount the value of connection and relationships. They discount these things. But let me just suggest to you, as I look around Family Worship Center and I look at the people, that maybe sometimes our music isn't exactly the greatest music in the city. There might be a conference come along and the music's just that great. And maybe the kids' ministry here is awesome, but sometimes somewhere in the city they might have a better children's service. Or maybe Pastor Steve preached and it wasn't quite what you expected. I didn't run, jump, flip, hoop, and holler, and you weren't, you know, flipping in the aisles. But here's what I can tell you. The word that's preached here, the ministry that is done here, this church has changed countless lives, and people are prospering. People are exceeding expectations. People are getting raises in pay. The people that come to this church, I tell you, a message, a man, and a church can make a massive impact in your life. And where you plant yourself shouldn't be where you're emotionally charged, but where you're word-driven. Because when we get the word and we're empowered by the word, we're supposed to improve. We're supposed to increase in our life. And the word should bring those things to our life. I was redeemed by the Lord for enrichment. God redeemed me to enrich me. Come on, and I speak it over you. I want to say this in Jesus' name, and I mean this. I break every stronghold of poverty in your lives in Jesus' name right now. I take authority over every stronghold of poverty in your life, and I break its power over you. You know, I grew up in one of those government cheese houses. Anybody know about government cheese? You don't have to admit it. I'll admit it for you. I'm not embarrassed. I've already told you everything you need to know about me. There ain't nothing hidden. We used to go get that creamy peanut butter. Y'all know about the peanut butter? I think it was rancid every time you got it. It wasn't very good, but it was peanut butter. And then they gave you some rice, right? Amen. And so we'd go down and pick up our little thing. It wasn't that my parents were broke and they lived in parsonage in churches. They were pastors. Of course, the church had a mentality to keep them broke. It really did. But I remember that mentality that our house had. It was a mentality of poverty. It wasn't that we were impoverished, but we had a poverty mentality. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? I sometimes catch myself doing this. My dad would go down to the Goodwill store, and because he felt bad about getting deals and felt bad about things, and he didn't want people to think that he had done real well in life, he would go down to Goodwill and he'd get up in the pulpit and show everybody, you know, he'd tell everybody, say, "I got this at Goodwill for $1.95. And take pride in the fact that he's going, and every once in a while that'll happen to me. I'll go down the store and the Lord will bless me with something. And I feel bad because it's like a $500 coat for $35. And I'm wearing this $500 coat. And I want everybody to know, I'm afraid for you to know that I spent $500 on a coat, which I didn't. So I'll come back and say, $35.95. Because, you know, preachers ain't supposed to have $500 coats. I remember the first time I went and bought a $1,500 suit. I was at a convention. I went and bought a suit. Man, I felt so bad. I tried to diminish it. I did everything I could because I felt guilty about having enough money to buy a $1,500 suit. You know, I mean, when there's a poverty mentality that ranged from my parents. It jumped into me as a child. It jumped into my mother, my wife as well. And right along, we're always trying to skimp and cheat the system. And you know what I'm trying to say before? And I'm not talking about now. I'm just talking about, you know, y'all know what I'm talking about. When you want to go on vacation and your wife goes, "I don't know if we can afford that." And yet we serve a God who said, He's more. I know you're sitting in there. I'm just going to be honest for all of us. Is that all right? Because, and see, but the thing is God wants all of us to move beyond those days. And if you're not careful, it creeps into everything that you do. It creeps into your health, and it'll creep into other things. You've got to defeat a spirit of poverty. You've got to come against a spirit of poverty. And the only way to do it is to come to the point where you realize that, beloved, I wish above all. Do you hear what I'm saying? God's desire. The writing of God's word was a desire above all things that you and I didn't have to live on the cheap. We don't have to live on the discount. Ain't nothing wrong with getting discounts. Nothing wrong with being frugal. But frugal out of prosperity and frugality out of poverty are two different things. And I tell you today, I'm tired of my church that God called me to pastor having a mentality of poverty. And I curse that foul thing. We're coming out. We're coming up. We're moving into a new place. We're going higher with God. We're going to live better. It's one thing to choose to live in less. It's another to have to live in less. It's another to choose to drive the car that's broken down. It's another to live with a car that's not broken down. I don't believe God wants my wife driving around at risk. I don't believe God wants my children driving around that their car go dead in the middle of the street. I was driving my mom and dad's car one time. It was a Lincoln Continental. The springs had gone out on the back. You remember those old Lincolns had those gas shocks in the back and it'd pump up. Y'all remember the shocks had gone out? So we were just bouncing. It looked like a low rider. Boom, boom, boom. We're bouncing around. And I remember the car would cut out every once in a while. We came up over a hill, and there was a hill coming down, and we were going to make a left-hand turn. I was driving, just a kid, 16 years old, and they were letting me drive the car. And I remember getting out in the middle of that road, and the car stalled. Well, a young driver, you don't know to start the thing. Car comes up over the hill, right in the side of us. Thank God nobody was hurt. How many of you think God wanted my parents driving a car without shocks, looking like a lowrider, bunch of Samoans in a car. All we needed was the dice. Y'all understand what I'm talking about? That's not where God wants us to live. That isn't God's plan. If I can frustrate you to the point you say, you know what, Pastor, I'm sick of this. And I believe that a connection to this church and a connection to a pastor who's made up his mind, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Watching God do it in the lives of people in this church, how God is opening up opportunities and positions. We're going forward. We're going forward. If you want to go forward, you go on with us. Some will leave, and I understand, but I tell you now, you stick with us, we're going forward. We're going on the way. This church is going to produce people who can do something for the kingdom of God. Your businesses are going to prosper. Your lives are going to change. Your children are going to be successes. They're going to do well. School's coming up. They're going to be the best. They're going to have the right teachers. See, that's what he said. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou may prosper and be in health. Now listen to this. The Greek word found in this passage is the word E-U-O-D-O-O. E-U-D-O. E-U-D-O. For those that would say this is just a salutation, you have to understand that they might say that it didn't apply to money. It did, because this word E-U-D-O means this. It's a Greek word that means good road or good journey. Good road or good journey. So to have a good road in life and a good journey in life, how many of you know it requires good money? Amen. Try to drive up anywhere in town and tell them, you see what I look like? They're not giving you that hamburger for free. You see, I don't actually need any money. I don't. But everywhere I go does. Everything I have requires me to have some money. I can't have electricity without money. I like hot water. I like refrigerated food. I'm good with it. So he says we're supposed to have a good journey. That we're supposed to have it. So even if this, for instance, this word did not actually specifically talk about prosperity financially, at the very least, it's a good journey that requires financials. The word prosper is translated in the Greek under the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 16:2, and he says directly in there that God, they were to set aside money, prosperity, each week as God had prospered them. Certainly and without doubt, the word prosper can be and it should be used in Scripture to reference financial prosperity. Look at somebody and say, God wants me to have money. And then say this, in abundance. I don't know about nobody else. I think God wants me to have more than I can have bank accounts. He said, I'm supposed to be the lender. Have you ever thought about that? That's not a broke person. When you are the lender, you have enough for you and others. Look at somebody and say, God wants me to have some for others. As I was growing up, see, they almost taught us that poverty was piety. That if you were in poverty, you were showing God. You were a reflection of God. How could that be a reflection of a God who has streets of gold? They're not paved with gold, Brother Kirk. They are gold. Streets of gold. Streets of gold. Come on. How could poverty reflect that? Poverty doesn't reflect that. And it does. It is not a pious thing. It is not a bad thing to have world's goods. Listen to the Psalm 50, 10 and 12. Psalm 50, 10 through 12. You ready? For every beast of the forest is mine. Who owns that? God. And the cattle upon the thousand hills. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee. For the world is mine and the fullness thereof. That means that everything that's in this world belongs to God. then why would it be a problem to have something God owns? See, so that was just good teaching right there. That was just, she got that, she said, amen. Amen, that's right. Why would it be a problem? How could there be an issue with owning something God owns? I want you to think about this. I just want you to think about this. Just. The wealth of God was so great. I don't know if you've ever thought about this. Because the Bible always talks about giving. It talks about sowing and reaping. See, unless we learn a principle, and I'm not going there today, but the permission for something to multiply is the seed sown. Without a seed sown, nothing can multiply. The seed sown is the permission. You give your seed permission when sown to grow, to multiply. Now, Jesus was the greatest gift of wealth. God had enough wealth that he sold his son Jesus. I don't know if anybody can see what I'm talking about. I mean, think about the wealth of God that's another message. It's on my mind. I thought I'd throw it out there. You guys go with it if you want to. Many people have been religiously brainwashed. Religiously brainwashed. With teachings that are not New Testament teachings, that are not founded in the New Testament. And without knowing what the Bible says, they have limited spiritual discernment. And they are tossed by every wind of doctrine. So in time, when erroneous teachings become traditions, they're not easily changed. They're passed down from generation to generation. And they're accepted, the error is accepted without question, because that's what we've always done. And so our belief system gets founded on the wrong foundation. Now, let me give you a foundation so you understand where I'm going. See, because if you don't know who the enemy is, if you don't know how to overcome financially, you could believe that a financial pressure on you or a financial lack in you is God teaching you something. You could, but let me explain this to you. Our foundation has to be John 10:10. The thief. Look at somebody and say the devil. The thief. The thief comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. Nowhere does it say God. But Jesus came. Why? That we might have and that more abundantly. So, and then let's take our 3 John 2 and let's add that in. Beloved, amen. I wish above all things that thou mayest die, fail in life. That's not what it says, is it? It says, I wish above all that thou mayest prosper and be in. Yeah. All right, I was at a meeting recently. The place was getting shouted down. People were, thrilled with the message. It sounded professional. All the trimmings were professional. And I don't mean to rush off on nobody. I'm not this. But this is what I'm talking about. And this is where our church cannot be. And you cannot accept this stuff. And the lady that was ministering said this. She used the scripture where Lazarus died. Many of us remember the story. Lazarus died. Jesus came, raised him up. Called him out of the tomb 4 days later. She used this scripture and she said that Lazarus died, and the scripture says they came to see him. And that her first statement was this. Now, I hope you catch this. She said, God took his glory off of Jesus and put it on Lazarus. Well, at least some of y'all got it. God said, I share my glory with no man. Another man will I not give it. Isaiah 42, he said, I will never share my glory. God did not take his glory off of Jesus and put it on Lazarus. The idea being that in the time passing that he died, you know, the old saying, we've all heard it. He died to give God glory. God was going to. But the point was, that God took the glory off of Jesus, that God let Lazarus die or killed Lazarus so Jesus could raise him up and get glory 4 days later. Now, see, many of you were taught that. I'm saying that. You're sitting in this room and you're sitting there going, well, I heard that. Isn't that what happened? God killed Lazarus and he came back. Jesus raised him up. No, that is not what happened. You see, Jesus heard about Lazarus' death 4 days after he had already died. He had already died when Jesus heard. Jesus was not saying he's going to die for my glory. Jesus already knew he was dead. Now, let me ask you, our foundation being, we don't believe that God kills, steals, and destroys, do we? What do we believe? 3 John tells us, beloved, I wish above all things thou mayest be in, even as. All right. What does John 10:10 say? The thief. Who killed Lazarus? All right. If you can't say that, we need to have a meeting after church. Who killed Lazarus? The devil. He got sick and he died. Jesus heard about it. Here's what it says. Jesus said, I'm going to go raise him up. And God will get glory out of that. God doesn't get glory out of killing folks. He gets glory out of raising them up. They didn't come to see Lazarus. The glory was not on Lazarus. They came to see what Jesus did in Lazarus. I said that for this. Because if that's the mentality that you'll sweep up and open like birds and waiting on somebody to deliver it, then when the devil comes and attacks your finances, you won't know. God wants you rich. I'm going to preach it. I'm going to preach it. I'm going to keep on preaching it. If it's not good, it's not God. Oh, I wish somebody would shout that out. If it's not good, shout it out. Come on, shout it out. Shout it out again. If it's not good. Come on, you can do it. I know you can. I got faith in you. You can do it. You can get it out your mouth. Here we go. If it's not
good, it's not God.
See, I know how hard that is because we've been religiously indoctrinated. Amen. We've been force-fed this stuff. We've been pushed this stuff into our minds. If it's not good, it's not God. Beloved, I wish above all things that has to be firm. And when it doesn't look like that, we know that's not God.
Amen.
Glory to God. You may be sitting there today thinking, I've been through that. I know what you're talking about, Pastor Steve. Money's been tight. That's not God. I've been broke. That's not God. You may be broke, but God said he'll supply all your needs. He's going to bring you out. I curse poverty in this room. I command every demon spirit of poverty be broken. Our minds shall change. See, I know this. Y'all don't, there's no worse fight in the world at home. Our house can be totally peaceful. Come on, y'all know what I'm talking about. Come on. I mean, ain't nothing wrong. Come on. Because there ain't but 4 things that plague a marriage, just 4. Sex, nobody has problems with that. Church, if we're all in the same church, no big deal. Family, we can overcome that. We just stay away from them. Money. Oh, my God. Y'all know what I'm talking about? They ain't no worse fight. They ain't no worse trouble in a home. Husbands and wives, you don't even know why you fighting. If you're married, you know it. Those of you that are single, nodding your head like you know what I'm talking about, you ain't got no clue. Y'all don't know nothing. I'm just kidding. But you know what I'm talking about. You get under financial stress, the bills come in, you'll fight about everything, including sex.
That's right.
It's the truth. It's the truth. Then God doesn't want our homes filled with fighting and bickering and arguments and challenges. That's not God. He tempts no man. He tempts no man with evil. Neither tempteth he any man with evil. See, God doesn't want us living like that. He wants your businesses prospering, your lives prospering, your homes prospering. Beloved, I wish above all things What does God's word say? And listen to this. We need to learn. We need to link our words in line with God's words. A lot of times we think wrong. Not in line with the word. Just what I've been talking about today. If our thinking is wrong, then our believing is going to be wrong. And if our believing is wrong, then what we say will be wrong. Let me read it again. If our thinking is wrong, then our believing will be wrong. And if our believing is wrong, then our talking will be wrong. When you have to have all three synchronized. Your thinking, your believing, your speaking, they must be synchronized with the Word of God. What does God's Word say? The idea that God wants His children poor, having no material things, is totally unscriptural. The Bible has a great deal to say about money. In significance, listen to this. I just want to bring up a few men that God blessed. Number one, if we looked at the Old Testament, God blessed Abraham. Yeah. Listen to this scripture in Genesis 13:2. And Abraham was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. Solomon was blessed by God, another patriarch. 1 Kings 10:7. The Queen of Sheba came over. She said, "Howbeit I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and thy prosperity exceeded the fame that I heard." Look at Job. Many like to use Job as their character reference. Let's look at this. Job 1:3. His substance was also 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 5,000 yoke of oxen, 500 she asses, a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. He followed all those things I said. He loved the Lord. He feared God. He was acquainted with God. He sought God. And God blessed him with all these things. Somebody said, well, he lost it all. Well, let's go look at that. Let's go to Job 42:12. So the Lord blessed the latter house of Job more than the beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, and 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 she asses. So if you are going through a Job experience, you think, then you better come out twice as good as you went in. And you should have went in good. Never mind, I'm not going there. Let's look at Uzziah, one of my favorite persons in the Bible. King Uzziah, God prospered him. Let's go over to 2 Chronicles 26:3 through 5. 16 years old, this is for anybody that thinks they're too young. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign. And he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother, her name was Jecoliah of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding and visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God prospered him. Now, if God didn't prosper us, he went against everything he is to do this to Uzziah. If God will do it for one, he'll do it for another. Listen to verse 7. And God helped him against the Philistines, and God helped him against the Arabians. And they dwelt in Gerbaal and Hemanins, or Mehumans. And the Ammonites gave gifts to Uzziah. And his name spread abroad, even to the entering of Egypt. And he was strengthened himself exceedingly. And then let's go over to 2 Chronicles 26:9 through 15. Listen to this. Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate, at the valley gate, at the turning of the wall. He fortified them. Also, he built towers in the desert, digged many wells, for he had many cattle, both in low country and in the plains, husband also, and vine dressers and mountains and camels. He loved his husbandry. Moreover, Uzziah had a host of fighting men. Uzziah prepared them throughout all the hosts, shields, spears, helmets, and habergons, and bows, and slings, and cast stones. And he made Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be the towers upon which the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. Look how God will bless people. It goes on into the New Testament. I want to just talk about me. I am blessed. But all the staff will tell you, my wife came to me and she said, because I believe in being led by the Spirit, I'm not suggesting you do what I did. Just listen to what I did. And it was me, because I've been doing this a long time. I've been listening to the Spirit. I have a relationship with God that's very deep. I'm not suggesting you could do what I did. But my wife kept asking me, and I thank God I've married the right woman, because I'm a nomadic vacationer. I go from place to place. I'm all over. And so we're coming up on vacation. The whole staff is going. We're all leaving. And everybody's asking me, where are you going to go? I don't know. So my wife cleaned the house to get ready to go on vacation on Wednesday night and Thursday. We were leaving Thursday. And she says, where are we going? Thursday at 11 o'clock, I don't know. I said, I don't know. Now, I don't know if any of you wives could do that. She's packed and ready to go to wherever. And so we went and picked up our kids at the camp that they were at on Thursday in Hartsville at the university there. And so as we're coming out of that camp, I said, why don't we go up the East Coast? We'll start at Myrtle Beach. We'll go to Hilton Head area. And then we'll go on down to St. Augustine, and you can shop down there at the malls. And we'll just play around in Jacksonville, and we'll do some Charleston. She said, okay. So as I'm looking at Hilton Head, where we want to stay, I come across this Disney resort. I didn't know there was a Disney resort in Hilton Head. Maybe you didn't know it. And so there was a lady many years ago who we talked to who was part of a vacation club with Disney. And she lives in Florida. So I text her. I just thought, I'm going to text her and ask her what this resort is. So I text her, and this is what I said. We're thinking about going to Hilton Head. There's a Disney resort there. I know you're part of this Disney club. What is that like, and would you recommend it for us if we stayed there? She writes me back. She says, where are you? I said, we're at home. She says, how long would it take to get to the church? I said, a few minutes. She said, meet me at the church. I'm 40 minutes away. God puts it in my heart to text a lady about a Disney vacation club. Mm-hmm. She's 40 minutes from Florence and says, meet me at the church. Mm-hmm. So I did. She gave us a 2-bedroom condo on the beach at the Disney Hotel there, the Disney Resort, jacuzzi in the master bedroom, which, let me tell you something, works real well. Trust me, I know what I'm talking about. 2 rooms, kids are separated, was great. Kitchen, full, I mean, one of the nicest rooms in the place. The room would have been $650-something a night. We had the whole place free. We stayed down at Hilton Head for no cost. We paid nothing for any of our hotel rooms. And here's what I'm saying to you. It says that I'm supposed to have a good journey. You see, a good journey is more than just money. I could have had money and paid. If I had $6,000, no big deal. I'd just pay for the room, right? On Hilton Head Island in Myrtle Beach. But God has a full journey. And a full journey supplied by God means that I don't necessarily have to have the cash to live the lifestyle of somebody who does. I wish you'd understand what I'm talking about. See, I believe that if God will do that for Pastor Stephen T. McCart, yeah. This is a lady that lives in Florence. She just happened to be on the highway 40 minutes from here, stopped at the church and handed us a vacation. And only God. It didn't take me 10 seconds to know where I was going after that. If you wait on him, what did he say? I'll prosper you. There is something that is best. There is something that's the rest, but there's something that's best. And when God gives it to you, it will be a good journey. Woo! Wait on your good journey. Wait on God's best. Hold on. Don't let anything move you from what you know you need to do. And I tell you today, I speak to you today, you're coming higher. You're going higher. And I revoke every attack of the enemy over our finances. I break the power of poverty over you right now in Jesus' name. I speak over your businesses. I speak over your entrepreneurial ideas. They shall recover. Somebody said, well, you don't know. We just went to the bottom. You can go to the top. Amen. It may have started that way, but it doesn't have to end that way. Come on, somebody shout out amen. Your bills are going to be paid off. Those credit cards are going to be gone. God's going to break those financial problems and those debts. I speak it over you in Jesus' name. I curse every hold over you now. I break everyone. I'm telling you, I curse that thing. In Jesus' name. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. This is your hour. Oh, you ought to be saying, this is my hour. This is my hour. This is my hour. This is my hour. We were not raised up to be pressed down.